The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Well, good morning. Got your Bible? Turn to Acts chapter 3. We're continuing our series. Today's message is when God shows up. When God shows up. All right? We're going to cover quite a bit today. And it all ties together. So just trust me, okay? Look at me and say, Jerry, I trust you. Suckers. Okay. Let's pray. God, thanks for today. Thank you for your love and your grace and the good things you're doing in our hearts, God. I pray that today our ears would be attuned to you, our heart would be attuned to you, God, and that my words would come from you. Thanks, Paul. In your name, amen. You ever one of those days where nothing special is supposed to happen? You know, you got your routine. I got in the morning, I wake up, I make coffee, I feed Winston. I feed me. And then I go on about the rest of the day. Nothing special. I'm retired. I'm not working anymore. I got all day to do stuff and nothing really to do. Putting my house together still. You got the same schedule, the same route, same expectations. Then out of nowhere, something happens that totally upsets your day. Changes everything. That's what Acts chapter 3 is. I'm going to tell you the story about Peter and John going to the temple, to the gate, beautiful. They are not going, by the way, they're not chasing a miracle. They didn't wake up that morning and say, hey, let's go down to the temple and let's see if we can make a miracle happen. It doesn't work that way. They're just going to the temple to pray. And I want to tell you this right up front. Some of the greatest things God will ever do in your life will happen when you're just being faithful in the ordinary. We don't have to go looking for things for God to do in us. We just have to be faithful in our day-to-day tasks. You ready for that? I'm not telling you to leave here and stand on the hood of your car and start preaching to the people down at the mall. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that as you're walking through the mall, God may give you a chance to do something incredible. Some of you are like, no, Jerry, I don't believe you. Give me a chance, we'll see. All right, first of all, God works in our routine. Moments. I'm okay. Look at Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked him for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God. I love that part. He didn't just say, hey, this is cool. No, he's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God. He went into the temple with him. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. This man laid at that gate, the Beautiful Gate, every day. Okay, don't miss that part. It's not like he just showed up on Tuesday and then on Wednesday Peter and John found him. He went every day. Every day. Same place, same condition, same struggle. And if we're honest, our lives can feel like that sometimes. Same stuff, different day. Same problems, different day. Some of you didn't need a GPS to get here today. Anybody have to follow their GPS to get here? Mine drove all the way in from Yuma. I didn't even pay attention. It just, the cargo knows where to go at this point. You've done it so often, done it so many times, you could get here with your eyes closed. Please don't. That's frowned upon by most major law enforcement agencies. See, that's routine. We get stuck in routine. And routine is comfortable. But routine can also make you feel stuck. If your life is consisting of the same thing every day, every moment, you know at 10 o'clock you're going to go downstairs and get a burrito from this, and it's always going to be the same burrito from this place that comes in. And then at noon, you're going to, you know, talk to your wife or husband or co-workers. Where are we going to lunch today? Well, we got to decide because we only have 10 minutes left. Right? You done that? Then you go home, you eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed, wake up the next morning, same thing. You're like a hamster on a hamster wheel. You see those hamsters on a wheel? They're hauling, and they're not getting anywhere. That's what life feels like sometimes. We get stuck. We're moving a million miles a minute, and we're not going anywhere. So I want to focus on this guy. First of all, there's the ask. Verse 3, he saw Peter and John about to enter. He asked them, when he saw them there, he asked them for some money. He's asking for money because that's all he knows to do. Why didn't he ask him for a miracle? Why? All he knows is that my day, every day, every day I'm placed at this gate, every day they bring me, they carry me in here, they lay me down, and I ask for money. Stuck. Same old routine. Never one time did he think anything different could happen to him. When you've lived in limitation long enough, you stop dreaming beyond survival. You with me? When you just live to just get by, you stop dreaming. You stop dreaming. You stop thinking about anything other than just getting by. And I love the response here. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold for you. Okay, now let's be real. If you're the guy laying there, that's not real encouraging at first. You ask the guys for money, can I have some money? And Peter stops. He says, well, I don't have any money for you. If you're the guy, you're like, then why did you stop? Just beat feet. Leave me alone because there's another guy coming. He might have money. Go away. You're just gumming up the works here. You're the fat clogging the artery. Maybe that's just the way I think. I don't. But Peter keeps going. He says, whatever I have, I'll give you. All right? So that sounds better. Then here comes the moment. Everything hinges on moments like this. When God is going to work in our lives, he comes in moments. Times when he comes in and he breaks apart our mundane existence. What he says. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Now, that's all well and good, right? Because, you know, we've seen faith healers do that, you know. Do you want to walk? Then walk. But Peter goes one step further. He didn't just say it, he helps him. Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. Wait a second. Now, first of all, if you're the lame guy and he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk, your first look is like, do you think I couldn't have done that before if I would have? Or wouldn't have done that? That sentence was all crossed up, but you know what I meant. Me no talk good sometimes. He reached down and lifted him up. See, God will speak to you, but he'll also move toward you. When God gives us those moments, he's coming to us. He's going to say, get up and walk. Take this step of faith. Do this thing. And as he's telling us that, he reaches down and he helps us. Don't ever think that when you're serving God all by yourself. So you do that. Oh, I'm just exhausted from serving the Lord. Me alone, all by myself. See, some people think they're forgotten, that God's forgotten them because whatever they were praying for hasn't happened yet. This man's miracle wasn't late. It was right on time when Jesus was about to get the glory. Sometimes we pray for miracles, and God says, you know what? Maybe. My kids used to say, when Dad says maybe, it means no. That's not the way God is. Sometimes if he were to give you what you asked for when you asked for it, you would mess it up. Amen? I know I have many times. Or I've prayed for the wrong thing not knowing it. Lord, do this. Then like 2 years down the road, I see, oh, Lord, if you had done that like I asked, I'd really be in trouble. You may feel like you've been sitting at the same place a long time, but one touch from God can move you further than years of effort. We're not doing this on our own. Just being available for God when the moments arise. This guy was being carried every day to the gate. And in this moment, God touched him and healed him. Now, when these things happen in your life, notice I said when, not if. What's the difference between you and the guys in the Bible? They couldn't drive. They didn't have cars. Is that the only difference? Look, they were not holier than you. They had a touch of God on their lives, but you can have the same touch. They didn't have access to anything you don't have access to, except you have access to the entire Bible. Do you believe, sitting here right now, God can move and do miracles in you and through you? I lost some of you. Do you believe, sitting here right now, that God can do miracles in you and through you? That's better. Even if you didn't mean it, that's better. You said it, that made me feel better. So when this happens, keep the focus on Jesus. Look at verse 11. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity. What do you see? An opportunity to stand up for God. I just want God to give me opportunity. God, give me a moment when I can speak. God, give me a moment when I can share. God, give me a moment when I can pray. God, give me a moment, an opportunity to serve you. That's a great prayer to pray every day. Yeah, I'm going down to Fry's to get groceries. Give me an opportunity to serve you today. Think God can do that? Of course he can. Peter saw his opportunity to address the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected his holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of that fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before our very eyes. Something great happens. The crowd shows up. And this is where a lot of people stumble. Because when something good happens, we like a little credit. Come on. We like a little credit. Yes, I laid my hands upon them, hallelujah. And yea, verily, great things happened to them. You always have to add to the end of stuff if you're going to be holy. We try to act humble. Oh, it was nobody but the Lord. But really, we hope somebody notices we were there. Peter shuts that down immediately. Says, why are you looking at us? We're just here. We're just the garden hose coming from God to push it out to this guy. We're just conduit. It didn't come from us. He points everything, he points everything back to Jesus. He didn't talk about their prayer. He didn't talk about their effort, their ministry. He didn't take an offering. Yes, this great thing happened. If you would like to support our ministry. No. He just pointed it back to Jesus. Everything went back to Jesus. He did it again. What's wrong with me? Everything went back to the name of Jesus. We have to guard against this, especially if you're a pastor. Because it's easy for pastors to start trusting in systems, experience, personality. When we serve God, we think that we have to, you know, when we pray, we have to pray in a certain way, and we have to sit in a certain chair, and we have to, you know, face a certain way. It's all just outward stuff. Just pray. Just pray. Open up your mouth, open up your heart, and let it flow. We get so caught up in stuff. Years ago in Christianity, there was the Jabez prayer, the prayer of Jabez. Everybody had to pray the prayer of Jabez. All right, but my name is Jerry, not Jabez. Systems, experience, personality. We think that somehow all the stuff, but you know what? None of that changes lives. What changes lives is his children, you and me. You know, I'm going to walk off the edge of this one day. It's going to happen. Need a little catch fence or something down here. What changes lives is his children pointing people to Jesus. Somebody asked you, how are you doing what you're doing? I got to tell you what Jesus has done in my life. It wasn't my faithfulness. It wasn't my willpower. Hallelujah. It's what Jesus did. He's the one that keeps you going. He's the one that changed my life. You know what? That'll preach. What God does through us should always point back to him. And Peter doesn't just explain the miracle. He calls them to repentance. I like that part. He says, you know, this Jesus guy came and you guys killed him. Imagine that was a little uncomfortable. Because you know, there had to be people in that crowd. It's the temple. You know, people in that crowd. There were some there who cheered for Jesus' death. And now Peter says, hey, you did this. You got rid of him. And look what he's done through us. Called for repentance because the goal isn't excitement, it's transformation. There are a lot of churches today, a lot of preachers on TV Oh, they could drum up the excitement. They're walking up and down the platform, and they're speaking hallelujah. Okay. Dude, if that's your style, that's you, fine. It's excitement, but is it transforming lives? My grandpa used to say, Jerry, we're not in the entertainment business. So the Dodgers will pull more people on one Sunday afternoon for a game than I'll have in my church all year. We're in the transformation business. God didn't touch your life just so you'd have a story. He touched your life so you'd have a testimony. A testimony points back to Jesus. A testimony says, I was this, I was lost, I was hurting, I was broken, I was doomed. But then Jesus came. And it's always that, but then Jesus came. And then my life changed. And here's how it changed. There are so many people who will never come hear me preach, but will listen to your story of a changed life over and over and over again. And God will touch them through that. And by the way, this isn't in my notes, but I'm going to throw it in. It's a bonus. Don't be ashamed. I'm trying to think of a better way to put this. If you've got a past, know that that past is forgiven. That you don't have to go back and live in it. That you don't have to be shackled by it. That you don't have to drag it around like an anchor on your life the rest of your life. Jesus came, saved you, forgave you, and that's that. I see so many people just slugging around through, oh, but you don't know what I've done, Pastor. I don't. Don't need to. Don't care. Because I know what Jesus has done. Some of us, the reason we don't serve, the reason we don't ask God for miracles to go through our lives is because we're so burdened by what we were that we don't see who we are. I had one guy that worked for me at the ranch, Rook Vickers Ranch, and he'd been caught in addiction, all kinds of stuff. And so he'd come to me and he'd call me Pastor. Pastor, I want to do this, this, and this. And I'd say, okay. All right. And he'd say, okay, but here's why, he would go on explaining for 10 more minutes, and I'd say, no, it's a good idea, go, Tim. Yeah, so I took him aside one day and said, Tim, take the yes. Here's the problem. He was so caught up in those years before when he was addicted and when he'd ripped off people, and nobody believed him when he spoke. He couldn't believe it when somebody did. You got to drop that. Just let that go. God's healed you. God's forgiven you. Let's go. Now it's time for you to start asking him to do miracles through you. Now it's time for you to ask him to start using you and quit bludgeoning yourself over yesterday. Does that work? Here's the good part. Expect some resistance. Ouch. It was going so well. It was so happy. Yes, we can do miracles, Jerry. Yes. Oh, crud. Look at verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put him in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now total about 5,000. I don't know about you, but if I gave an altar call and 5,000 people came forward, I'd be happy. I mean, I put you in Billy Graham territory. The next day, the council of the rulers, elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? This is where the story gets ugly. They got arrested for healing somebody. That'll make you think twice next time, won't it? Lord, there's a cop right there. You sure you want me to pray with them? Sometimes we think that if I do the right thing, everything will go smoothly. And I'd love to tell you that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. See, doing the will of God will sometimes put you in uncomfortable places. Anybody ever been in uncomfortable places? And more often than not, it's because I put myself there. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a tendency to kind of speak. And sometimes there's not enough of a stoppage between my brain and my mouth. My mouth is like really fast. My brain says, shouldn't have said that. Oop, too late. Doing the will of God sometimes puts you in uncomfortable places. As a pastor, I've had to do uncomfortable things. I've had to talk to people in ways that were not comfortable. Look at somebody you love, that you care about, and have them come to you. We've said it for years. We have two pastors at Remnant. Jeremiah's the nice one. Me, not so much. I have to look at somebody and say, you know what? You keep making the same mistakes over and over again, no matter what we tell you. You just need to do what you've been told. And that's hard, because you love them. You don't want to be harsh. Because if I was harsh, I'd tell them, you're stuck on stupid. There are people that are, though. I used to see them at the sheriff's office all the time. We used to call them frequent flyers. It's Friday night, we're bringing in this guy again. Oh, hey, there he is. There's pressure. They're questioned. They're threatened. They're told to stop talking about Jesus. Think they will? Here's what stands out. The healed man is standing there. Now imagine your case against Peter and John. Who did you do this by? And who said you could? And you need to stop this. Meanwhile, the guy that was healed is standing right there. Hey, guys, can I talk? No, shut up. See, he's standing. You don't have to win every argument. You just have to live a life that shows that God has done something real in you. God has done something real in your heart, in your life. People can debate what you believe, but they can't deny what God has done. We have debates all the time. Social media just tires me out now. I look at Facebook and I think, wow. There's some people that need Jesus. And some of them call themselves Christians. Did I say that out loud? Live a life that people can't deny. Why can't they deny it? Because it didn't come from your words. It came from what God has done in you. Let them see what God has done for you. How do you do that? Pray for boldness, not comfort. Verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. They've been threatened. They've been yelled at. They've been told to quit preaching. What'd they do? They went back and started praying. Because that's where they're going to find the answers. That's where they're going to find the power. That's where they're going to find the strength. They go back and pray. And this is where it gets personal for them. Because their prayer reveals their heart. How many of us, in this situation might have had a little bit of different prayer. Lord, make this go easier. Lord, fix this quickly. Lord, remove this problem. Because that's how we pray sometimes, isn't it? Lord, I know this is a hard time. Let's just get this over with, okay? But that's not what they prayed. Look at verse 29. Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What did they pray? Lord, give us boldness. Not less pressure. More power. More power. When's the last time you prayed for God to give you more power in your Christian walk? Because see, even our Christian walk, we get stuck on the hamster wheel. Going to church on Sunday, going to Bible study on Wednesday, and the rest of the days I'm just kind of doing my thing. I read my Bible and I pray. When did the last time you prayed, God, give me power? Because we think, well, pastors have the power. Not any more than you got. There are days when I feel like I got less. I got news for you. I'm not feeling good today. I'm sitting back there kind of dizzy. You think I have power today? No. I'm waiting for God to bring in the difference. Pray, God, give me power. Give me boldness. Not less pressure. More power. God is more interested in strengthening you than shielding you. Why? Because you don't get better by being shielded. You get better by going through the battle. We want to hide out, and God says, no, get your tail end in there. Get in the fight. Let's go. Let's go. Here's the result. Verse 31. After this prayer, look at this. The meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Can you imagine if we just started praying this morning and the whole place started shaking? Of course, we're in California. We think there's an earthquake. Here's my question. When you read that, do you think it could happen at Remnant? Come on, be honest. That's a hard stretch, isn't it? That we would pray so loudly. They would touch heaven's throne so greatly. They would storm the gates of heaven with our prayers and with our praise, and the whole building would shake. We should be expecting this, not wondering if it'll ever happen, not doubting it. When we pray, when we do worship, we should shake. Our hearts should shake. Our hearts should be rattled. Prepared to go into battle. When you walk out of here today, you are going into battle. And you better be ready. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they preached boldly. Here's the thing. You don't need a different situation in your life. You need a new filling of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to come and rest in your heart. You need to open your heart to Him and let Him come in. Let Him give you boldness. Let God come in and just shake you from feet to head. So what do we see today? We've seen a lot. A man who couldn't walk, now leaping. Oh, I forgot that. God didn't call you to blend in. He called you to stand up. I think one of the worst things that anybody could say to a Christian is, well, you seem just like us. There should be something different about us. So, just two chapters, we've seen a man who couldn't walk, now leaping. Not just shuffling. You know, I like that every now and then. I see these guys on TV. All right, now walk. And the guy's like, look, he's walking. No, this dude was leaping. I don't think I can leap. You would hear cracking and bad things happen. I would probably fall and hurt myself even further. This dude just... We used to let the calves out after they'd been in the pen for a long time. And they would go, we used to call it cavorting. They're just jumping around like springs are on them. Imagine this guy doing that. A crowd that needed truth, now hearing it. And disciples under pressure, now walking in boldness. I want you to go with me to that man. For years, carried to the gate. Just so he could beg. His whole life consisted of how much money can I get today? Stuck in a rut of monotony. Stuck in a life that didn't seem to matter. One day, maybe he's walking with his family. He passes by the gate beautiful. Not sitting there anymore. He's walking. Not being carried by anybody, he's walking. Every step is a reminder, I'm not who I used to be. I want you to know that when God works in your life, you're not who you used to be. Quit carrying it. You're not who you used to be. What if today God wants to lift you up? God wants to use you. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can speak with boldness. Not just so you can get through life, but so that your life can point people to Jesus. We're not doing any of this stuff just for ourselves. We're not asking for boldness so that we feel better. Well, look how bold I am. No, we're asking for boldness so that God can use us to change lives. So that God can work in our loved ones and people, maybe even people we don't know. God wants to use you to change the lives of the people you run into. I've told you for years, you don't have to change the whole world. I'm never going to be a Billy Graham speaking to a stadium of 60,000 people. It's not going to happen. You don't have to change the world. You just have to change the part of the world that bumps up against you. The people you come in contact with every day. People you work with. People you see at the store. Could be anybody. God, give me boldness. Let my life point people to Jesus. Do not settle for sitting at the gate when God has already made a way for you to walk. It's not time for us to get used to stuff. Time for us to go to battle. Time for us to start doing new stuff. God, do something great. Bow your heads, close your eyes, if you would. And right now, just go to God and tell him, God, I want more. I want to do battle. Change my life, God. Come on. God, I want to point people to you. Simple prayer. Are you willing to make it? God, do something great in us. Father, I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, that we will feel boldness as the Holy Spirit speaks through us to people. That it will be your words that flow through us. We'll be amazed even at what we're hearing from our own mouths. Because it's you, not us, God. God, fill us with your power. Fill us with your boldness. Let us do great things for you. Thank you, Father. I always want to do this now. Take a step of faith and tell them thanks. Thank you, God, for doing this. Thank you, Father, that I'm going to have an impact on somebody this week. Thank you, Father, that you're going to move through me. Thank you, Father. Lord, bless us now. I pray that you work in us, God. Thanks. God, move in our hearts. We ask it in your name. Amen. You may face opposition this week, resistance. Pray. Pray so loud the wall shake. Don't be afraid. If God's for you, who can be against you? Love you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.